Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another edition of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Tuesday, October 14th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
Doing good. Doing good today. Not too much, finally, on the AI doom front. More on the positive side of things. And I've been watching some really great interviews lately from Sam and from Mogadot and some couple moonshot episodes that I missed. And everything seems, as far as I can tell. I'm just sort of stopped paying attention to the media for the time being, right? Like I'll just go back to focusing on the science that actually matters. Things are pretty good.
Yeah, and hopefully what I'm about to talk about doesn't come across as doom saying, or it could easily be construed as that. One of the central tenets of Value First is like transformation, not optimization, right? Because when we try to optimize, it's coming from this industrial place. I'm using industrial language, and I'm realizing more and more that I'm focusing on the words that we use so much because that is our code, like our natural language code, and the way that we talk about things leads to how we think about things. And, if we can't get away from some of the words that we use, it becomes very hard to jump into, the paradigm that we need to be in. And you shared a post over the weekend. I'm going to share my screen talking about software. And it's, feature already exists, but isn't evenly distributed. Consulting companies will become software companies. Software companies will become AI companies. AI companies will eat themselves to collapse the stack and concentrate. Customers only care about jobs to be done, and revenue per employee as a metric is the leading indicator for this across companies, and this is also what the stock market will eventually prize. Evolution only makes winners out of folks who adapt. And my immediate like gut response is like, software. Like, why is it still a word like used in here? And so I finally took it to Claude today. I was like, help me out, man. And I'm gonna start with the end of the chat where we're at right now. And then take it back to the beginning. Because I really want to get into this word, because software carries a lot of meaning for the human race right now, right? And if that is either changing or going away, like that has a huge, huge impact. So what Claude says, what actually defines software as a category? I think the defining characteristic of software is that it contains explicit procedural logic, step-by-step instructions for how to transform inputs into outputs. When you write software, you're essentially saying, when X happens, do Y. If condition A, then execute path B. Loop through this array and apply this function to each element. So that's software. And we'll get into configuration, because what happened through the course of this chat is, first of all, like, don't you love it when this happens, where it's like, you say, hey, Claude, I'm going to give you this thing. And then I don't give it to you. I don't give it to him. But then the answer is still like pretty damn good. It's like the ability for intelligence. This is where like intelligence is this new layer that's like causing the questioning of software and the way that we've, kind of built things. The ability to like, obviously there's some memory. There's some, preferences in my cloud portal, but the ability to get close to where I'm wanting to go like mm-hmm. to understand the intent of why I'm asking the question and the words that are in it, and then get close on the answer without even me giving the example. Like, it is fun when it happens. And it's not as, I don't think about it as black boxy and as magical as others do when you know all the pieces in play. But basically, after I give them the screenshot of the LinkedIn post, this is gets to what we were talking about yesterday, right? Like, humans need linear progression, like, to understand things. So the linear progression assumption, the post presents this as inevitable evolution, consulting to software to AI to collapse of concentration. But this assumes each category cleanly transforms into the next, which Claude says, I don't think is what actually happens. The jobs to be done line, this is the most interesting part. Customers only care about jobs to be done is true, but it actually undermines the linear progression narrative. If customers only care about outcomes, then the form factor, consulting versus software versus AI, shouldn't matter, except it does, because each represents a fundamentally different relationship model.
Mm-hmm.
New per employee metric, this is where industrial thinking shows through. RPE optimization leads to either leverage through technology, good, or extraction through reduced capability transfer, bad. And then it starts to get into some value for specific stuff. But I'm curious, like, based on that, like, well, maybe, like, because when you shared the post, you said, he ain't lying.
Right.
Like, what were you... what's on your mind as you think about these transitions that everybody's got to make?
So I also look at things through a different lens too, right? So if you take what we talked about yesterday, right, that agents really just, or, you know, what agents really just represent digital people, right? And so when you think about code, code represents the genetic structure of those digital people. So software is just, it could be anything. It's this weird thing where, like, it's a really, at this point to me, it's a very generic term to use because it could take the form of, like, so for me, software is like end user has like an interface to it, typically. Something that you interact with, right, in some fashion, whether it's interface, chatbot, like something, right? It is something online on your screen or on your phone that you have to interact with. It doesn't matter to me what the underlying architecture is at the end of the game. It's still a software platform of some type. So I do see that being the case. I mean, I'm kind of living it right now where it is a matter of like, yeah, it's just now developing all of these tools that you're just using to make your connections between data stronger. And I think that ends up being the case because the systems themselves start to become so automated that all you need is like add-on. You don't need like you won't need the whole, you know, like we were talking. I know, right. It's scary. I know it's scary shit to listen to, guys, but it's whatever. You know, you won't need the whole like onboarding structure that gets provided by your typical agency. You won't need like the whole configuration aspect that gets provided by an agency. Like, I guess think of it as like, think of it as leveling up, really. Like it's the easiest way that I can put it. You got to think about it as leveling up. Think about whatever you're doing now as like the base stuff. You've been doing it since however long, right? Like, it's slowly evolved, but life cycles have still been life cycles, and lead stages have still been lead stages and workflows still, you know, like all of that stuff has still been the same for a very long time. And so now
5 years.
Yeah.
I may or may not think about it almost every day.
Yeah. Right. And it's, you know, it's time to change basically. And right. It's not even like change in a, so much of a drastic way. It's just like, okay, well, like now that that can be done automatically for me, like I can now do this thing as a result of it. Right. But that's where the breakdown happens.
Yeah.
For, like what I'm seeing is the, like you're really having to lead people basically. And yeah. That like is starting to, that is starting to cause the divide. So like a while ago, obviously we were telling people like, hey, you really need to get into it. You need, you know, start getting educated, start learning how to use it and stuff like that. Cause it's going to be really, really important. You know, it's not like it's too late today or something like that. I don't know how to phrase it, but basically the people that are getting let go today are getting let go because they didn't bother to like evolve and move forward. They decided to like, no, you know, I'm not going to do the onboarding and I'm not going to learn how to use the new tools and I'm not going to change the way that I do my job. I'm just going to keep doing it the way I do it. And I'm just as efficient anyway. Right. It's not going to last very much longer at all. Right.
Yeah. Like, no. And this is what we mean by paradigm shift, right? Like most humans have the capability to do what we're asking, what we're suggesting you need to. It's just been one of those things. Like I think software and that whole industry is like we wanted software to do the hard stuff like for us. And yeah. Like so everybody has an enablement capability gap, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know training sucks in organizations. We know there's no communication strategies in right. most organizations. And that's where like that like AI doesn't solve those things like specifically. And here's why. Like to continue with Claude, software emerged as a category because we needed a translation layer between human intent, what we want to happen, and machine capability, what hardware can physically do. Software was essentially frozen human reasoning, explicit instructions that bridge the gap between what we mean and what the machine can execute. What AI actually changes is that it doesn't just make software better, it changes the fundamental requirement that made software necessary in the first place. Instead mm-hmm. of needing to specify every step software, you can now specify constraints and desired outcomes while the system figures out the path. That's intelligence. So where does software land? Claude thinks it dissolves into three distinct layers: configuration, infrastructure, the rules, the boundaries, and system parameters that define what's possible and permissible. Mm-hmm. This isn't really, quote, software anymore. It's more like constitutional architecture. You're not writing instructions, you're defining the playing field. Then you've got intelligence infrastructure, the models of training data, the interface layer, the thin layer that translates between human intent and system capability. But even this becomes less about building software and more about designing conversation patterns and interaction models. Think like audio enabled anything.
Right.
Right. So I pushed back a little bit saying, well, couldn't you just, call it like the configuration layer, software. And that's where we get to the end of defining software. And configuration is fundamentally different. Configuration says these are valid states. These are allowable relationships. These are the boundaries that cannot be violated. It's declarative rather than procedural. program. You're not telling the system how to do something. You're telling it what is true about the world and what constraints must be respected. The HubSpot example, when you design a property in HubSpot, you're not writing software. You're declaring this field exists. It can contain these types of values. It relates to these other entities in these specific ways. It must respect these business rules. The intelligence infrastructure then figures out how to work within those declarations. The system reasons about what actions are possible, what recommendations make sense, what automations will be helpful, all within the constitutional framework you define. So the layer model becomes hardware infrastructure, physical compute, storage, networking, intelligence infrastructure, models, reasoning capability, adaptive systems, constitutional layer, declarations of what's true, what's possible, what's required. This is the part that replaces software. And interface layer, human to system translation based on conversation, visualization, and interaction patterns.
I mean, I see where he's going with it, and I do understand it. It's just like there's going to be, I get it, because I think you're now starting to see like things a little the same way that I do, where it's like time starts to become a little bit weird, because software makes sense for like the next 3 to 6 months in terms of like building out, you know, front end user interface. And to me, it still goes further than that. It goes for a long time, because you're always going to, you know, balance. You're always going to have that segment of users that need interface for whatever reason, until it gets far enough. Like I think it will take like, you know, 20 years, probably, if I'm being really honest, like for us to like really get rid of, you know, touch interface. And I don't know that we will, like, maybe not like physical touch, but we probably go to like projected version of it or something. I just think that we need something to do with our, it's almost like, it's like Ricky Bobby, like, I don't know what to do with my hands right now.
Yeah. Well, it's like almost all, like if we had our way, like all five senses would be activated, like at all times.
Right.
So yeah. I get it. And it's hard to think about that, but I'm starting to see it a little bit differently as I talk more about the value path. And as you mentioned, lifecycle stages and these things that haven't changed, right?
Right.
You have elements of the system that have not changed in 25 years. We've not gotten better at adopting them. We've not gotten better on helping humans adopt them. Like, because the underlying assumption is just wrong. Like, and that's why it's broken. So yeah. It turns into like, it's like you either keep it simple and keep it wrong, basically, in that you're trying to apply a simple like logic frameworks against really complex human behavior and interaction, or you go all the way. It's very hard to go in between because humans are complex beings, and when they interact with each other, complex things happen. Meanwhile, you can tie it to like everybody wants to be seen, everybody wants to be heard, everybody wants their expectations met, like across any business ever, right? Yeah. That's your customer base. It's true for everybody's customer base, right? Now, what has to happen in the system is a very complex understanding, which is why AI, now that AI is here, we can achieve that understanding. We just have to describe the constraints under which, like how it helps us understand how we can serve the customers through this complex journey. And that's where, you know, when you break down the value path, it's got 8 stages, and then you apply those stages against 3 different stakeholder levels, like, you know, individual contributor, managers, executives. Right. All 3 care about different things throughout the whole journey. So that's 24 different like combinations right there. And then you start to apply it across industries and verticals and job types. It gets complex real quick, and humans mm-hmm. can't do it. Like, we've been trying to build systems like that for a while. And maybe you could get there. Like, a lot of people have gotten there in some ways, but it breaks now because next month, it's a different world. Like, AI is changing right. things every single month. So it's like, okay, how do we stop being, you know, so, like, how do we move from procedural to declarative and say, all right, this is what we know to be true. Like, figure, like, look at the structured data, look at the unstructured data, look at what's happening on social, look at how everybody's interacting, and help us figure this out. And we've already got tools inside of things like HubSpot, like sentiment score,
right?
Like, getting very, very, very good.
Yeah.
Right. And, but that's what, like, human in the loop comes in as an example, where a client, like one of my industrial clients, like, I pulled up the company record and the sentiment, like, score was low because it was like there was no, like, emotion in the emails, or like the emails were emotionless and it's very transactional. It's like, yeah, you're taking that from like an order confirmation template, right? Yeah. That everybody knows and expects. So it's like, okay, obviously you're not understanding the nuance here yet.
Right.
But it's fun. That's where we talk about constraints, and we set the constraints based on our, you know, business context or personal context to say, okay, no, that's, you've got that, you assume this constraint was here. We need to move it over here, and then, like, watch the score get better, like, immediately. And better, yeah. Not from like a higher score, better from like a, like, more true.
Right, right, a better, like, more understanding real, of what
more
it is
representative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the gold mine right now, is the data that you're already sitting on top of that you're not really leveraging in terms of being able to surface the actual information and nuances that you're not otherwise able to see through, like, regular reporting, right? And be able to look at and say, like, oh yeah, well, it turns out that deal scores, like, for now, turns out that, like, the actual deal score for something might not align to who was selling the deal. Like, imagine that you have, like, auto prospecting happen to the point where, I mean, we already have it at the point where, like, technically sales rep needs to just follow up with an email or a call, and that should pretty much kick off the deal. Right. Like, it's almost, it should be for teams that are, I don't know how to phrase these things anymore. For teams that are taking full advantage of what is possible and can be done with agents, I imagine the process simply looks like, you know, salesperson sits down at their desk and either answers an email and or picks up a phone, whichever the contact method is, and begins the you know, process of starting a deal with somebody. And that's soon going to evolve into the only emails and calls that sales rep gets are for specific clients and customers that sales rep is excellent at closing. So that changes to become like this stupidly efficient method, right? It's this thing where, like, it won't be a matter of the same thing that's happening now, right, with knowledge work. That applies across the board, whether you think it does or not. And even if it doesn't apply directly where you think it does, like we were talking about, like, orthogonal, like, horizontal movement of this technology, right? So it doesn't actually have to apply to the rep. It could apply to the customer. And that way, when you hire a rep, maybe they fill out a thing when they first get hired, and the system determines the type of rep that they are, puts them in their little bucket of, hey, here's the clients and customers that you're really great at. There you go. off you go. We don't have to even onboard. We don't have to teach you to try to sell like us. You just be you and do what you're good at. Imagine that. Imagine you just get to wake up and just, I don't know, do what you're good at instead of all the crappy shit that you have to deal with every day. And yeah, everybody, I mean, like, who, find me the downside of that. Find me the downside as a sales rep of you waking up, do what you need to do with your clients, not have to do any of the minutiae in between. And the clients and people you work with are people who want to work with you. And you're not having to wrestle them into an agreement, and you're not having to hustle them into signing something, and you're not having to sit and hope and pray that the deal goes through. Imagine like what that world looks like. It's not just possible. It's happening. It's coming. Like, whether you like it or not, like, you can thank capitalism really at the end of the day, but like, it's happening, right?
Yeah. That's already here. Like, for sure. And this is what we mean by like 100%. Like, it was a pipe dream before, when it was like, how do we get salespeople to go from like 30% of their time spent selling to more, right? All of the avenues required them like to do more, like to do things differently inside of a CRM, like to start to raise that number. And that was the, like, we could not break through, because most of that, I have to do 20% more stuff before I even see, you know, the gains. I'm good. I'm just going to keep closing deals like over here outside right. of the system, because it's the human relationship. I know how to do that. Right.
Yeah.
I don't need a software to translate, you know, what's happening now. Like, the same amount of input can actually, you know, get us there, because the unstructured data is just coming in. And we are in that world where we can set it up like with constraints, because we're letting the intelligence layer. This is what the intelligence layer means. Like, I'm sorry, humans, you just haven't been good at this part. Like, you mentioned the enablement gap. Like, what I glossed over, I didn't even mention in the Claude conversation, he kept saying HubSpot is not an AI company. It doesn't turn into, because a part of that post was software becomes like AI companies. HubSpot right. is not an AI company. They're an enabling, you know, company with that platform. And that's what I've started to outline for people, is like, if you got unified customer view, unified revenue view, unified business context, you then have unified enablement, because everybody can see, and just all these layers, this is the part that humans have not been good at. They have not been good at training. They have not been good at onboarding, because they think the systems should be doing that part.
Right.
And they shouldn't be. Like, there's so much nuance to this stuff, right? And I could obviously go on for a long time, but we are at time. See, Nico's not the only one that needs to be stopped. I mean, we're going to keep digging into this, like, because it's real, and there's so many valuable people in the space. And I always talk about HubSpot admins, like, you are in the best position to just leverage the hell out of this transformation,
because
you know how the systems work, and you know how the people around you work. And those are going to be the AI orchestrators, the system orchestrators. Maybe we call it the enablement orchestrators. You know, you are the practical translator of how your team starts to leverage a system where they can just wake up in the morning, say, hey, Breeze, what's my schedule today? Okay, I want to talk to that person. Like, help me prep. When's that call? Right? Every moment of the day becomes super intentional and value, instead of like a battle to get value. Right. Oh man, it's already here, folks, and we're gonna be here every day to help you leverage this stuff. Thanks for letting me go on my rant today, Nico. And we'll see you tomorrow, man.
All right. See you guys.